Okay, it's recording now.
Okay. So should we proceed?
So Pradeep, is it okay? We proceed?
Yes, let's go
Okay.
ahead.
Okay. So on the web hub, there is an independent Django application, web application that has no hard links into Bitbake. The link goes only through the database, which is abstracted away. So this is why the color changing in green in the diagram. So going through the architectural changes since 1.4, the important part is Bitbake now runs as a server. So you can still run Bitbake as a regular process, or you can launch it in a way that it remains resident in memory, and then you can connect with front-end clients like Hub or Nati to it and issue commands and get back results from those commands. This has the advantage of letting us record all the output from the server through the DSI into a database. The web hub application just connects into this database, retrieves the data, and displays it in a way that it's easy for a human to follow. So first important thing about whole setup is how the data is transferred from the Bitbake into the database. And this is the part where ESI comes into place. So ESI will record stateless events and will partially reconstruct the state of the server. So it figures out a model in which it plugs in information as it comes through the events and reconstructs the data structures that are in the server in order to write them into the database.
So Alex, a question. So what you're saying is the server is going to generate events and DSI is going to read the events and store all of the events in the database. So server doesn't have a database.
Yeah, the server doesn't have the database. The DSI connects as a client to the server, to the Bitbake server, and receives events and writes the data coming through those events in the database. It doesn't write the events directly, but instead it spreads the data into various models and objects, and then those objects and then stores those objects in the database. So why does this happen? First, we record data in a different form that is in the server. So the data as the server uses it is oriented as facilitating the build process, whereas we record the data in a form that makes it easy for us to inspect it and understand what's going on. We also add identifiers to the data and additional information like timing information that is not present in the Bitbake server. So the DSI isn't really blind. It kind of knows what it is doing to that data. So
So,
it interprets the data. Okay.
Alex, yeah, there's one question. There's here I'm seeing there's a your test text is the DSI record the stateless events, right? And reconstruct the state of the server. So these are stateless events. How can you reconstruct? But the events is just the sequence of events is provide some information for it, allows it to reconstruct the state of the server.
Yeah, exactly. So, for example, when the server starts processing something, it sends a message or the type command started, and then it follows up when the command is done, it is a command failure or command success, right? So I know when the server is doing something and in which state it is, and then if it, the operation was successful or not. And during, depending on the command type, I know what kind of server or what kind of events to occur. So, for example, I can receive progress events, or I can, when I start executing tasks, I receive task data events. So I know to listen for those kind of events at that time. So, for example, I get the build started command. I record the time that the build has started. I get the command completed event. I now know when the time of the previous command was started, and then I can compute how long a certain command took and what are the task events that belong to that command. So in this sense, I reconstruct the state of the server, because just the sequence of the events carries some information.
Okay. So, and also the other question is, you see there's a, okay, so DSI is a register for the server events, and then there's a whatever based on the events it retrieves, it reconstructs and kind of re-picture, there's a redraw the picture of the context of the server. But also this with the webhop is more like a client server, so it's not just a kind of event listener or event logger. There's some certain things this is needs to drive, let's say I kick off a build or something. So what is the part reconstructs this kind of rebuild the what's the client activity and then what's the server response?
So if I understand this question correctly, mm-hmm. you're asking how does it start an activity?
Yes, which part is it also that's kind of like, get notified, what is the webhop, the front end interface is, start a build a package or start build a image or whatsoever, and then this is triggers to kind of start, that's a logging, that's the server, the big server, there's a events and trying to repicture, it kind of draw the picture what's the server, there's a consequences.
Mm-hmm. So the DSI only receive events from the server and stores it in the database.
Mm-hmm.
In order to drive comments from the web interface into the big server, we need another component that will act in place of the Bitbag CLI, which is on the left-hand side of the diagram. And this component isn't written yet, but should be straightforward in the sense that it will probably be a CGI bin interface that running fast CGI or a similar protocol to talk on the web server side, and then can connect to the Bitbag server and feed comments into it. But that is going to be a separate module from the DSI.
Okay.
So, just a quick question, Alex. So the Bitbag server, has this been in the earlier versions of Yocto, or is it like a new thing that we are introducing in 1.5?
It's a new thing in 1.5.
Hold on. I think there's a... Okay, the Bitbag server, okay, so let's put this way. The Bitbag has been this kind of like there since day one. It's just in 1.5, that's what Alex just mentioned, make it more like a standalone server. It's the 1.5 enhancement.
Okay. Yeah, and the reason is I'm just trying to think about, I mean, are we going to get any... What kind of integration setup or we need to look at from our side, from Windover side, because, I don't know. Yeah, this is something I need to investigate this. Maybe, David and I will look into this.
Yeah, once you look into that. Just keep in mind, as I said, that we can only enhance feedback, how feedback behaves, but we cannot dramatically change it as because it has been there since day one. And for the we need to be put that into consideration to be make it less, destructive as possible.
Sure. I think it's just an additive process from whatever we have on 1.4. And 1.4 is something that we support in our earlier release. So, yeah. So this is a Bitbake server is a new thing that, okay.
Yeah. I also wrote Bitbake addition. So if you need plus questions, just ping me.
Sure. So, yeah, so your team is also responsible for the Bitbake server, or is it a different team?
Actually, Richard is responsible for that one, but I just the change to make the Bitbake server stay resident in memory and accept commands from multiple clients. That was the thing that I wrote.
Sure.
Okay, so going back to the diagram and just a quick recap, that yes, I record events from the server and write structured data objects, if you will, directly to the database. Now the green part, going to the green part. It's basically a web server that can read objects and display information in some certain way. From the database. So in this regard, it is quite pretty stupid. It doesn't do any kind of processing of the data. It just knows how to search for data, filter it, and make it available to a client. So in this sense, it is a bit clumpy in respect to the significance of data. It does not care about what actually the data means, right? In the Bitbake context, it has no idea of the Bitbake context. There are two ways, as of now, to go through this data. First way is what we call a simple web interface that allows the human to read the data and visually inspect that the data that we collect is sound, we don't miss data, we don't get wrong values in there. So it's a very limited capability to visualize what's in the data source. The second way that can provide data to clients through a REST API. The REST API is documented as a contract between a client and server, web client and the web server, in regards to the format and the content of the messages being exchanged. The format is always JSON, and the content is specified in the wiki. What it can do is basically expose a search and filter capability for each of the object types that are in the database. So, for example, each build gets its own object in the database that tells us where the build is, or which Bitbake version run that build, what are the build targets, this sort of data, right? So, for example, the REST API for the build allows you to list all the builds that could be running on the server, or list all the builds in a certain time frame, or list all the builds for a certain target, and so on. This is needed in order to drive advanced visualizations that are designed as of now for the front end. And these advanced visualizations are needed because actually there is a lot of data. So regular image bit triggers about 5,000, 6,000 events. No, sorry, 5 to 6,000 tasks. Each task is about. So visually, for a human, visualizing 5,000 rows of data for a bit is quite difficult. So we need to have a smart way to show that data, and this is where Valen helped us a lot and designed this neat visualization. In the front end for human consumption. In order to drive this visualization, the way to fetch the data is through this REST API. So we now go through the last the bottom most green frame with the UI front end. So the UI frontend just basically should just query the REST API and massage the data that it receives in the nice format that the design requires. And this is basically the whole design of the system that we have right now. Details about the system are available on it. Team used Wiki to communicate because we had a geographically sparse team based in London and Romania and US. All the information on the Wiki was always kept up to date, including the designs are also on the Wiki. And I think this is about the top level presentation that I have. If you have specific questions.
So I think the two things that I just want to know. Now, if I understand this correctly, the WebHub web server backend reads the database and passes the information to the UI interface or API and UI to actually get that information, right?
Yeah.
It's all a pull interface, right? Not a push interface.
Yeah, it's a pull interface.
Now, okay. So any application like a third party application that we have some ideas on. So we have to use that API which interacts with the web server. Get all the information in JSON format. And so that's pretty much it. But we can't pass any information back to the web server backend to either store in the database or to pass it on to the UI front end.
There is no, so right now all the information flow is designed to be a pull interface with read-only capabilities. So you cannot write through the REST API any kind of information in the database. This being said, we can alter this design in order to provide update capabilities through the REST interface. But this is not coded at this moment.
Yeah, we should be able to do a put methods later on. I mean, we did that with, I used to work with Rapid Logic, a company that did exactly that, provided a web server where you can push and pull data with get and put services. So, yeah, that can do it later.
Yeah, I think probably this can be planned for the 1.6 release or even release later. But, yeah, having that kind of pull-push kind of, functionality for the web server, that helps because, because probably in the future we might get a situation where we want the users to actually access the third-party components through the WebHub web server. So this pull-push kind of mechanism might, be very useful.
Yeah.
Well, certainly there's tricks you can play. When you do certain gets, you can the get you can do can actually trigger actions on the back end. We used to do that trick. So there's, but if there are backdoors using just what they have today, you can make the back end more intelligent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Django is designed to help coding REST interfaces very fast. So it's actually pretty straightforward to code something that would allow modification with the database. It's just that we need to carefully consider the security risks that may happen, because the application is actually designed to be hosted on the internet at some point, right? So at that, if we talk about letting people write things to our database over the internet, we need to figure out a security model and user roles and a whole another layer of things that are not designed as of now, because when you get only read-only capabilities, web interface, basically you don't have to worry about people doing bad things to your site.
Sure. I think they can come later on as we evolve this. So.
Yeah, so if you get what I'm trying to say, the code is straightforward, it's just we need to think a bit about the usage models and the roles that we will make available. But yeah, these are doable structures. Okay, so any other concerns or questions?
Yeah, I'm looking at the wiki page for the Actor project, and I'm right now looking at the defects, the Bugzilla. Now, how do I subscribe to this? Is there a...
It's just, you just go to this Bugzilla, this yaktoprojects.org/Bugzilla, and then just kind of like, if you don't have account, you just register account.
yaktoprojects/Bugzilla. So I'm in the Yakto Projects main page. And,
hold on. So you got it or no?
Yeah, I got it. So I'm entering my email address, which is my juror.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I sent it.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, in the documentation, I think there's a current state and data flow. So, David and Pradeep, do you have further questions on as far as that go?
Okay. Let me just make sure I look at all the documentation. So I go into the documentation, and there's a quick start. So just to understand. This documentation folder is up to date. All the documentation that we have is on the site.
You mean wiki? The
no.
Wiki page?
No,
oh.
I'm on the yaktoproject.org/documentation.
Oh, those are up to date. But then if you want to learn overall Yakto projects, they're up to date. And if you want to learn as far as webhop goes, you should use webhop wiki page.
Okay. So the Bugzilla that I requested for an account earlier, the Yocto, that's not the Bugzilla for, that's not the account for WebHub, right?
No, it is this, we overall, this, we have only one Bugzilla, and it's WebHub is one of its components. So this, for Yocto projects, we only have one Bugzilla. So anything relates to WebHub front end, later on you are going to be assigned bugs, and yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks.
So as far as WebHub goes, there's the backend, there's how things lay out and how to interact with things. There's David, did you have any other questions?
No, not me. For now, I would like to, you know, spend some time this week and go through the source.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to get the whole system up and running on a different distribution. So Alex, what distribution of Linux are you using to develop this? Because I would like to install the same version.
So personally, I'm using Ubuntu 13.04 and Ubuntu 12.04 on different machines. So one is on my desktop and one is on my laptop, and it should work straightforward on both of them.
Okay. Maybe, yeah, maybe I'll just install 13.04 on a desktop which is directly connected to a monitor and go from there. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Please don't hesitate to send me an email if you run into any kind of problem. I mean, it's gonna be a lot faster than just, you know, trying all sorts of things, or maybe trying something in the wiki that I updated in the code and not updated the documentation yet, because this is a work in progress. So please don't hesitate to bug me if you can to help you.
Okay, I have my Bugzilla account. Yay.
Now you're official. Okay. So this is the backend, and I think there's definitely it makes sense for you to play a little bit with it and to get yourself familiar, and maybe triggers the next rounds of questions. But on the other end, I'm just trying to see this, how do you want to pursue as far as this front end goes. So Alex, do you know, I know this, you haven't this worked on the front end, but do you know this front end code also checked in somewhere also under the WebHub branch?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you are asking. The front end code is in the WebHub branch.
Okay, so where are they?
So all the front end code is in the same place, like bitbake.lib, WebHub. bitbake.lib/webhub.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, since we are here, let me go very fast about the subdirectories in that the directory, okay? So in BLD viewer, this is the front end code.
Just hang on. So
the web back end code in the BLD viewer.
So I'm in bitbake/libs. Oh, okay. You have this.
And WebHub, yeah.
So I typed in the collab edit a couple of descriptions about what's going on under with the web hub directory. So in the build viewer, we got all the code that runs on the backend side. So in the URLs API, the URLs structure of the application is defined. In the template, you can find the HTML files for the simple interface. And in views, you can find the backend code. Under the ORM for relationship model, something like that, you can find the models.py UI that describes how the data looks. And under web hub guy, you can find the static directory which holds directly those files as they are served to the client. Yep, there.
Hello?
Yes.
Yep. So I've seen what you typed out. Pradeep, what were we doing?
Oh, just I think Alex has... Yeah, I'm just... looking at the information that Alex has typed in.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is probably me and David will actually go through this source code this week, try to get the web hub up and running on a machine that is connected to a desktop connected to a monitor, and see how things go from there. Probably next week we might have more questions about how to get it up and running. And the other thing, Jessica, I want to ask you is, you know, from next session, can we actually have WebEx kind of meetings where we can record all the sessions?
We sure can. I'll set up WebEx, and yeah, that's fine. And so, Alex, that's it's probably just kind of request for the next weeks. Can we restore it to Wednesday?
Yeah, sure. It's just this Wednesday that I can.
Yeah, especially next week is this the Monday is the day, the Tuesday really the Monday, and it's back to school. So for people have kids, that's probably going to be busiest today. That's yeah. So
yeah.
Okay. So I just I'll start a WebEx next week, and also there's a yeah, it's going to be restored to Wednesday. And the one thing that's Pradeep and David, for you two is not only that's because for the task you are going to charge is mainly for the front end, it's not just get the back end up running, probably because we also have the front end. And last week we mentioned we have one case, the front end, back end. We have the code, the front end, the back end can talk. Yeah, connects to each other. So probably for that part, it's good for you to kind of explore in that area and see that whether there are some gaps or missings. That's and also just kind of comes to speed and see how comfortable that you are with the JavaScript MVC. Because last time you mentioned that you may prefer something else.
No, it's not that I prefer, it's more like, can we do, I mean, is it possible to use other things as well? That's just, it's just a kind of, I just want to know what are, if JavaScript is something that is, it's absolutely required, or if it is possible in future, we can use other frontends. But yeah, JavaScript should be okay for now.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely, there's a, it's not kind of like, for the backend, we're pretty much locked down. For the front end, yeah, kind of since we're still in the early stage, it's definitely we're open to the, so what other technologies we are going to use. Yeah, yes. But then again, that's kind of like, we already have some kind of example codes there. That's a probably, that's a, you can take that.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a, we can wrap up for today. And for the next week, so we're going to talk about based on what your finding is. And the other thing is, so based on your findings, I don't want to push out, but then probably we can start thinking. And also, since now you get the Bugzillas, can you two send me email about your Bugzilla account? And I'll just transfer those front-end bugs to you. So while you look at the code, you can look at those Bugzilla existing bugs and see what we originally plans to do as far as front-end and what's the approach. Because we have a kind of like a whole bunch of Bugzilla. It really break down small pieces as far as the functionality wise goes. It gives you some ideas what's originally the front end guy was planning to tackle the task. And so maybe you can go there, and then maybe in the next couple, next week is not realistic, next couple kind of follow-on weeks, we're probably starting, you guys comes up the proposal, what's the plan, for the front-end task you want to work on, and then how to kind of work with the back-end, and we need to come up a plan how to make sure things will happen for 151. Does that sound okay to you too?
Yes. Is your tracking tool Bugzilla for development? Or just
yes.
For bugs?
No, we basically using Bugzilla tracking. It's not just bugs, the features as well.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So currently, you see that for each releases, we are, you'll see there's a one up front that we're going to have the features and the feature further breakdown to this kind of like, we basically have a top level. If it's a big feature, there's a top level or umbrella bugs, and then it's kind of breakdown into smaller, there's a bugs, and then those smaller bugs are, yeah, maps into different milestones. So that's kind of how we track the features, how we progress on, as long as the features implementation.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
So Pradeep, we're working on one big bug.
No, actually, we already have a kind of like, I'll transfer those bugs to you, and then, yeah, there's a kind of like maybe the after next week, we can start discuss how we, that's kind of tackle this front end, how you want to reorganize the front end bugs, kind of create a high level, there's a big bugs, and then because currently we have already have a whole bunch of small bugs for this front end, yeah.
Sure, okay.
Okay, so if nothing else, I think that's a call for today's meeting, and Balan's going to post what she captured on Wiki. And yeah, the other thing is, fundamentally, we're going to use the Bugzilla combined with the Wiki is main resource people should look at the web as far as webhop goes, and it should open to public. So anybody want to take a look or want to track where things are, that's the first place you should look.
Okay.
Okay, cool. I guess that's then I'll talk to everyone next week then.
Okay.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.